Our Heavenly Father, we're touching thy eternal holy word, and though thou hast put it in the hands and the hearts of mere mortals, Lord, thou hast given us of thy Holy Spirit, who is the author of this eternal holy book. And we pray, Lord, that we would be infused by thy Holy Spirit to not only speak, but to listen and to hear what thy Spirit says to thy churches. And to this end, Lord, we ask that you would give grace to thy humble servant so that he may speak the words that would impact his soul and the souls of those who would have ears to hear. Thank you for this unspeakable gift that we have, this word of truth that you have preserved through the ages. Thank you for the gift of faith that comes by your grace, Lord, the faith that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have the promise and expectation of eternal life. We are thankful that, Lord, you have given us witness and testimony of thy Holy Spirit's working in the hearts of men and women, and even as we, Lord willing, will be witnessing the testimony of two souls this very next week and in the weeks to come in other congregations, we just simply want to give you praise and thanksgiving for all the work that you have done, all the work that you are doing, and all the work that you will accomplish, because you are the God that never breaks his promises. And we humbly ask that you would give us a blessing as we read thy holy word now. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Loved ones, turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. I wish for the part of this chapter here to be the basis for our afternoon reading. I will be going through other verses as the Lord has laid on my heart. And I don't know why it is the case sometimes where I think I need to express how the Lord has brought me to some scriptures and for the reading, for example. But as I was thinking about this past Easter, and that was only a few weeks ago, and meditating on post-Easter types of events, my meditations have led me to different places. Among them, here is John chapter 16. I'm going to be asking a very interesting question, and maybe I'll do it after the reading or after the portion of this scripture. But John chapter 16, just in thinking about some of the events that happened after Easter, after the resurrection, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I made a personal discovery, and I think many of you already have discovered this on your own, but for me, it was like as many times as I read some of these scriptures, I never understood a question that's been nagging me for a very, very long time as a believer in reading his word. So I'm going to ask that question at the end of our reading, but I'd like to start with chapter 16 in St. John, starting from verse 7. Now, this, of course, is not after the resurrection and ascension. This is Jesus talking to his disciples right before he is to be crucified. But he says something very interesting, and in fact, it's repeated at least two or three times in the Gospel of John. But in this particular chapter, he says this, starting from verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall shew it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." And I'd like to stop there at verse 16. I'm going to turn to chapter 7 also in the book of John, just as a little after reading here. But before I read that, I want to ask a question. Have you ever thought about why it was, Jesus used the word, the King James translation says expedient. Have you ever thought about why Jesus said, it's necessary for me to go, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you? Have you ever thought about that question? I confess to you, that's a question that's been nagging me for many years. And I made a discovery in my post-Easter meditations here in these last few weeks. It is so simple. I don't know how many times I've read these scripture references, but it's pretty much in plain sight. Let me read to you, though, going back to chapter 7, just to read a few verses here from 37 to 39. It's interesting what Jesus says here and what the author says, John, about what Jesus said. He says, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Have you thought about that verse? It's an interesting, now John has referenced this in a couple different ways, but the idea is that the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. That's the way King James translates it. And yet we know, do we not, that the Holy Spirit, the Trinity is self-existent. He has no beginning. The three in one have no beginning and no end, right? So why did the author of the gospel say the Holy Spirit was not yet given? Why did John later on record that Jesus said, it's important, it's necessary that I go, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you? Doesn't that seem contradictory almost? Because we know, and we read all the way back into Genesis first chapter, that it was the Holy Spirit who fluttered over the waters, literally like a mama bird would be fluttering over her nest of little ones. That's the Hebrew word that's used there in Genesis. The Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters when the earth was still without form and without void. Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He has been there. He has no beginning. He has no end. So we know the Holy Spirit has been around for eternity. And we know the Holy Spirit has been impactful in the lives of believers. So what did John mean when he recorded the words of Jesus? What did Jesus mean when he said, if I don't go, the Spirit cannot be sent? What did John mean in that chapter 7 when he said, the Holy Spirit has not yet been given? When we know the Holy Spirit impacted men and women, young and old, Old Testament, New Testament. It doesn't take much reading, loved ones, when you go back in time and you can read about the Holy Spirit that came upon various individuals, even filled the hearts of individuals. This is not a new thing for the Holy Spirit to do his work in the hearts of men and women, even before Christ came on the scene. John the Baptist has been recorded in the Gospels as being filled with the Holy Spirit. His parents, both Elizabeth and Zacharias, were filled with the Holy Spirit. King David, recorded in, I think it's one of the King's books, that said when Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit came upon most of the judges, Jephthah, Gideon, Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Pharaoh to talk about Joseph, to say, is anybody going to be found that where the Spirit of God is in this man? We can read many, many, there's probably hundreds of examples, loved ones, where the Holy Spirit has impacted, has empowered, has infused, has filled the hearts of men and women even before Christ came along. So what is the meaning then of when we hear and when we read Jesus saying it's expedient for me to go, because if I don't go, If I don't leave you, the Holy Spirit cannot come. What did John mean when he said, the Spirit has not yet been given? That's why they didn't understand some of Jesus' words, like, what is this living waters flowing out of one's belly? I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means when you say, in a little while you shall see me, not, and then a little while you shall see me because I go to the Father. What does that mean? There is a special portion of the Holy Spirit's mission that could not be accomplished until Jesus ascended. I'll say that again. There is one part of the Holy Spirit's mission that he could not accomplish it until Jesus left, until Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected, and he ascended to the Father. Have you ever thought about that? What was that one particular part of his mission that he couldn't accomplish? Because as I read through Old Testament and New, I see and hear and read that he did fill the hearts of men and women. He did impact people. He is not merely the spirit of power, for example, to allow mere mortals to do impossible things. He is not merely just a power of attorney where he stands by our side and he is our communication channel to the higher authority, if I can put it that way, or in the eternal court of law to God the Father. He is not just our helper. He's not just our comforter in time of need. He is not merely the spirit of prophecy by whom it was revealed to the prophets of old things to come, sometimes in dark sayings, sometimes very plainly. Not just the spirit of power. Not just the power of attorney, if you will, to intercede for us, for example, to comfort us, to convict us, to reveal things to us in terms of a spirit of prophecy. He is also the spirit of truth. And to that end, he is a witness to the truth that is in Christ Jesus and ultimately that is in God the Father and the Trinity, three in one. He is a witness to the truth. And therein, loved ones, is a simple thing that I've missed for many years. Let me reread some of these things. Chapter 7, I kind of glossed over that last part, and that every time I read this, I was doing the same thing, where the author John says, after Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, like eternal water. And then John puts a parenthetical, saying, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's the peace, loved ones, that I was missing for many a year. It was only at this time, only at the time of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, that the Holy Spirit could fulfill his final part of the mission, which was to witness the fact that Jesus died and rose again and is at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us with the Holy Spirit's help. That is a witness, loved ones, that we need to take very, very seriously, because it identifies us as Christians, men and women, as children of God. Let me read something to you. First of all, verse 14 in that same chapter, chapter 16, when Jesus said, it's expedient for me that I go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. That is, the Comforter will not fulfill his final mission of witnessing to you what he saw and what he's hearing from the throne of God. Because in verse 14, he says, starting in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. not just the truth that people find here on the earth, but beyond the concept of earth, all truth. And whatsoever, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will shew you things to come. There's the spirit of prophecy and revealing, just like we read in Revelation. And in verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it to you. He shall glorify me. How? He shall witness to us that we need to be confident. We are confident that Christ arose and now is glorified at the Father's throne. That was the reason that Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. And now that he's fulfilled his mission, he is now glorified at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. And the Spirit bears witness to that. Let me read you something that John also wrote in his first epistle to the churches. I love this chapter 5, and there's a portion here that I go back to time and time again because I think it's really, really important. I can read a good book, and might be the best self-help book in the world. And I can read the words, but if I don't believe it, or if I have no basis for belief, then it doesn't help me, does it? Unless maybe I get some witness or some other fellow reader comes along and say, oh yeah, I talked to the actual doctor or originator or author and I know whereof what he speaks, right? And now I'm starting to get two or three witnesses that corroborate the story and the account, right? Well, what John says in his first letter to the churches, he says, starting chapter 5, verse maybe 6, maybe even verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, why would I even believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? I'm just reading this. Maybe even it's for the first time if I'm an outsider. How can I believe this is true? John goes on. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, capital W, which we know is Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That is the Holy Trinity. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Their testimony is exactly the same. What is that? Spirit, water, and blood. Is it the Spirit of God descending like a dove, observing that Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist? Is it the Spirit that witnessed the water and the blood coming out of Jesus Christ when he was crucified and that spear pierced his side? Was it the Spirit that beheld Jesus as he sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane? This is all about witness, loved ones. And why do we care about witness? First of all, the Holy Spirit is in heaven with the Trinity, and he is and was here on the earth witnessing these things. Why is that important? Let me turn to Romans 8 for you really quickly here, and for myself too. Why is that one fact important to us? That the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, was witness to these things in heaven and in earth. The Apostle Paul says, maybe starting at verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, And I should say, King James, that's a reflexive pronoun, so it should read, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him," that means being partner of his sufferings, "that we may also be glorified together." Two things there, very important, that the Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that we are his children because of the power of the Spirit to regenerate our lives. That is a witness. And our spirit testifies and agrees with his Holy Spirit that we are the children of God, those of us who have been born again and let his Spirit fall and indwell our hearts to change us. That's one thing. That's important for us to understand. No matter what happens in life, loved ones, and there will be challenges, there will be temptations, there will be hardships, just as Jesus was tempted of the devil. And the devil never stopped tempting him, Scripture says. We're always going to face those challenges in life. But through it all, we can be confident of this very thing, that our spirit witnesses with his Holy Spirit that we are his children, come what may. And if we are his children, then we can expect certain things to happen because God promised them. It also says later on, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Just as the Holy Spirit witnessed the glorification of Jesus Christ in his fullness after he ascended to the throne of God, after his mission and work was done on this earth, only then could the Holy Spirit come within us or anybody and say, "Now my full mission is here. I am witnessing to you that Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen from the dead. He is at the right throne of the Father, and he is begging for all to come to him." That's important for me as a believer. There are many things in this world that can try to influence me otherwise, that can try to take away my promise of inheritance in the Lord. And those powers and influences seem to be getting more potent with each decade, with each passing generation. If you just think about these things, loved ones, I mean, first of all, I have to confess, I don't know why throughout the years, I missed such a simple observation. It always nagged me why Jesus said the Holy Spirit cannot come to you if I don't go away. John said the Holy Spirit had not been yet given. That is, that had not yet been sent to finish his final mission. Yes, his mission was always about power and pointing to God and revealing and the spirit of prophecy and intercession and revealing and the sword of the Spirit, right? Cutting to the asunder, even to the very joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But his final mission could not be completed until Jesus was ascended and Jesus was glorified. And that's what the Holy Spirit is now witnessing within us, within our own spirits, and to the people that we relate to, that we can relate to them, that with every confidence we know that Jesus Christ is alive. And to them it may sound like a fairy tale. To us we know it's true because we have witness. As we think about these things, loved ones, and how important it is that we have this Holy Spirit to regenerate us, to get us back on the right path. And when we falter, when we sin even, that he points us back to Jesus Christ, who is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. I pray that as we remember these things, as we meditate upon them, that we have that much confidence, like the Apostle Paul said in his letter to Philippians, and not just that one, but in many ways, he said the same thing, but I'm remembering what he said in the letter to the Philippians. In his intro, he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." We have this confidence, loved ones, And may no force, power, or influence in this world dare to take that away. If you ever doubt, start reading some of these scriptures here where His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, who has observed things in heaven and things in the earth, can witness with our spirit that He is alive and He is coming again for His own. May God bless His word to our hearts.